So as we began 2025, I spent some time talking about our way forward. As we continue on in the next 100 years, having celebrated our 100th anniversary, as we continue forward, what are some of the essentials that we will need for our next year or years, as long as Jesus should tarry? We spent a bit of time talking about unity and how important that was. And so as I kind of continued to think about that whole way forward, as I began to pray and kind of seek the Holy Spirit's direction as to where we should go next in terms of the Word of God and preaching and so on, I felt there was a word that kind of came to me, and I felt in some ways as though God is wanting us to go deeper. Now, that may be a bad title today, and we're going fishing. I don't know, but it's no connection with that. God wants us to go deeper in Him, to a deeper dimension in Him, beyond Sunday morning church and good church gatherings and great ministries and programs, etc., that I believe God wants us to go beyond even being a good church, having successful ministries. I believe He wants us to go beyond that to every person, young and old, every ministry, being led and directed and filled with the Spirit of God in order to lead us into everything and every dimension that God has for us. What the future looks like for PPT and what the future looks like for PP, Pastor Paul, what the future looks like and holds for us is going to depend on many things, no doubt. Some people talk about the future for the church is going to change with government regulations and all of these things, and I have no doubt that it will. But what the future holds for PPT and what it holds for you and I as believers will most importantly depend upon how we hear, how we receive what God has for us, how we understand what God has for us, and how we act on that. And the first part of that is for us to understand what it is that God has for us. And so I asked myself the question this week, and I ask it to you as a church this morning. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us as a church? What is He saying to me individually? And so I'm going to begin a series which I simply entitled Life in the Spirit. And it was interesting that as I sat down in particular on Monday and kind of just gave a day to just kind of thinking and praying as to where we would go with this, and my natural tendency was I wanted to, you know, sketch it out. I wanted to have it neat and tell you it's going to be a 10-part series or a 7-part series or a 21-part or whatever. Wanted to have it neatly boxed in, and then I sat back and I thought, okay, something is wrong here. I want to talk to us about being led and directed by the Spirit, and yet I want to kind of box it into my own little neat little package. And so I felt like the Holy Spirit said, just follow me. And so we're going to talk about life in the Spirit for the next few weeks. I don't know, it could be a long time. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads us. We're going to unpack this whole idea about life in the Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is His work? What about the gifts that He has given to His church? Are we using the gifts He's given us? If you've given your kids gifts, maybe, and you go to visit them, maybe you have older kids and you've given them gifts over the last number of years for birthdays and Christmas and so on, and you've carefully thought about what they could use and something to bring something to their lives, and you go to visit them and none of those gifts have ever been touched. And so the Holy Spirit, the Bible clearly tells us that He gives us gifts and carefully places them in His church. And are we using them in our life in the Spirit? And so our life in Christ is more than just a mental assent to a creed. It's more than just a belief in a doctrine and so on. It's a life where we are literally, according to the Bible, that we literally walk in the Spirit. And our key verses of Scripture for this series are going to be two verses in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the very first part of that verse says this. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, "So, I say, walk by the Spirit." Then he says in verse 25, "And since we walk," now walk and live are used interchangeably here. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and since we walk by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." If you read some of these verses, and depending on which translation you particularly enjoy reading from, these words will be used almost interchangeably. Because life in the Spirit is just that. It's a living daily. It's a walking in the Spirit. An older paraphrase. Many of you are familiar with the Message paraphrase. A number of years ago, there was a paraphrase called the J.B. Phillips translation. And he paraphrases it this way. Live your whole life by the Spirit. Live your life by the Spirit. Not just your worship. Not just your church life, not just your spiritual side, but the invitation of the Spirit as he inspired the Apostle Paul to write for us here in Galatians is just that, to live our whole lives directed and impacted every day in every detail of our lives by the Spirit. And so in order to do that, then we first of all, need to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. If I'm going to live by the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, which simply means not rushing ahead of the Spirit and not falling behind the Spirit, but walking in step with the Spirit, then I need to hear where the Spirit is stepping. I need to know where the Spirit of God is leading if I'm to walk in step with Him. And so we need to hear. In the book of Revelation, we have a record of the Spirit speaking to seven distinct and separate churches. Now, these churches all had the same Lord. They were all spreading the same gospel message. But yet, they needed specific direction from the Spirit. And so, each of us are following Jesus Christ. We're believing the same gospel, we're sharing the same gospel, but each of us need to hear specifically what the Spirit is saying to us. Our church needs to hear what the Spirit is saying to PPT. What does the next year, 10 years look like for PPT? Where is the Spirit leading us? We need to hear, because He's leading other churches too, but we need to hear, where is He leading PPT? And I need to hear, where is He leading Paul Perry? You need to hear where He's leading you. And so, as I said, we have these seven churches. We're not going to look at them, at least not right now. But rather this morning, as I begin this series, I want to look at the man who heard the voice of the Spirit and wrote these letters to these churches, enabling them to hear what the Spirit was saying to them, despite very difficult circumstances, enabling this man to have what I would call an experience of a lifetime that affected him so deeply and has affected the church and continues to affect the church to this day. That almost 2,000 years later, in a church in Ontario, we're still being impacted by the voice of the Spirit to a man who chose to hear the Spirit, a man by the name of John. And so we're not going to look at his letters, but this morning I want us to look for a few minutes at him. The Spirit affected everything about John, as life in the Spirit should. It affected what he heard. It affected what he saw. It affected what he did. Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm going to read a few more a little later, but just a couple for right now. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. John says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Commentators say that the year was probably 95, so it's almost 2,000 years ago, 1940 years ago, 30 years ago. Because of a wave of persecution, religious persecution by the government of the time, John and others had been exiled to an island called Patmos, a little rocky island, Greek island, probably a great place to visit today, but John wasn't there as a tourist. Little island that says it's about 10 miles long, 5 miles wide, it's all 50 square miles. It was used in those days by the Roman government as a prison, a place to banish all those who went against the government. Most prisoners were not terribly treated. They could roam the island, even though they were in bondage or in captivity. They were free to move about. John, probably not. John was there because of his faithfulness to the Word of God and for his faithfulness to Jesus Christ, something the government would strictly oppose. And so it's most likely that John received stricter treatment, not necessarily solitary confinement, but that kind of idea. The other prisoners on the island were free to roam about. John, maybe quite not so much. He probably would have had to sleep on the bare ground. Would have been a very dark, damp prison, insufficient food and clothing. There were mines on the island, quarries that mined quartz and things like that. He probably would have been forced into hard labor, and he would have no doubt been beaten. And yet, as we read this chapter and these verses I'm going to read to you in a little while, we see that despite all of that, John was able to have an experience with God that any of us would probably envy having. John had such an encounter with God. And so how was it possible that in a prison, dark and damp and all of this, that John was able to have this encounter with God that affected him so deeply and enabled him to write a letter that still affects us 2,000 years later? Commentator William Barclay says this, and this basically sums it up for us. He contrasts the two realities that were going on in John's life simultaneously. So in John's life at this time in his life, these two things were going on. He says this: John was in or on Patmos, but John was also in the Spirit. We have seen what Patmos was like. We have seen the pain and the hardship that John was undergoing. No matter where a man is, no matter how hard his life, no matter what he is passing through, he may still be in the Spirit. And if in the Spirit, even on Patmos, the glory and the message of God will come to him. Even on Patmos. Now that's not to dismiss what John was going through. And this is not intended to dismiss what anyone here this morning might be going through. It's not to dismiss what was happening in John's life, and it's not to dismiss what's happening in our lives. And I don't think we're dealing with that level of persecution. We're allowed to come here to church. We're allowed to worship. We're allowed to do a lot of things that we don't do. But yet I realize that there are so many people who are dealing with such difficult circumstances. And yet, despite these circumstances, John was able to have this experience with God. John was able to focus on something else. You see, I wonder if there's a lesson there that sometimes it's not our adversity that blocks us from God. Because if it was, then John would have not been able to see him. Imprisoned unfairly in all that he was dealing with, and yet he could see God. I wonder if sometimes it's not our adversity that prevents us from seeing God, but our prosperity. And so John was able to see him. And I thought this wasn't intended to be poetic necessarily, but I wrote this week. Just as we see the stars the brightest on the darkest nights, we often see the clearest views of God from the darkest places. I've experienced that. Sometimes the clearest view of God comes from the darkest places because he just shines so much in contrast. John said, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of the Lord and because of testimony. John says, your companion in suffering or your companion in tribulation. That word simply means, the word that's used there for tribulation means pressure, stress, pressure. In fact, it literally means the pressure of a big rock pressing in. And my mind couldn't help but going back to when I was 12 or 13 years old. It's not a great story to tell, but just want to make the point. In the town that I grew up in central Newfoundland, there was a music group that had come to the town for the weekend to play at the Cadillac Lounge. Now, trust me, the lounge wasn't anything like a Cadillac. But this band came to play for the weekend. And in the day, they were exploring. And in the back of the town where I live was a large hill, small mountain, kind of rugged. We would climb up there. People would climb. One of the band members, climbed up there. And unfortunately, when he did, pulled and a rock moved and pinned him. And he lost his life. Because the pressure of the rock just pressing in on him. And I can remember that as a teenager. They couldn't move the rock till the next day, and helicopters had to come, and it became kind of a big thing in the town. And so John describes what he's experiencing as the pressure of a big rock pressing in, taking your breath. You know when you get that, when you can't breathe? And I know that many of you are probably dealing with that. Or you've had seasons when you've dealt with that. Maybe some of you watching online are dealing with that. You just feel like there's this pressure. It could be from family. It could be from finances. It could be from friends. Whatever, that's pressure that just seems to be just pressing in and you can feel like you can't breathe. John says, I was under that kind of pressure. But he says, on the Lord's day, the day that he would have probably been in his church in Ephesus as the pastor of that church, on the Lord's day, when in their context he would have been doing what we're doing here, meeting together, it would have been no doubt looked a little different, but they would have been meeting together on the Lord's day. But instead, he's in prison. He's on Patmos. But he has this experience, not in his church on the Lord's Day on Sunday morning. He has this experience on Patmos that impacted him. And it affected what he heard. It affected everything he heard. My mom used to say, you hear what you want to hear. And that's the way it is with us. We hear what we want to hear. I would imagine on that island, John would have heard a lot of things other than the praise to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He would have heard a lot of cursing, a lot of crying, a lot of groaning, a lot of beatings. But he also heard the voice of God. The Bible tells us that God doesn't always speak in loud volumes and trumpets. Sometimes he speaks in a still, small whisper. John was able. Why? Why was he able to hear the voice of God? Because, I propose, he was in the Spirit. He had tuned himself to God's voice and was somehow able to shut out the background noises. It's so easy to listen to others instead of God. But we must learn to recognize his voice. We know what other people are saying around us. We know what the news is saying. My question this morning is, what is the Spirit saying? Turn on the news and hear what the news says. Take out my phone and see what people are saying. But what is the Spirit saying? And to hear what the Spirit is saying, we need to listen. Life in the Spirit affects what we hear. Life in the Spirit affects what we see. It affects our view of the future. Life in the flesh gives us a view of our future. It's not always great. But life in the Spirit also enables us to have a view of the future. John saw Jesus. And everything he saw reminded him of Jesus. So I'm going to get you to do a little exercise. I'm not going to put the words on the screen. I want you to close your eyes for a second and just listen. And just listen. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Dressed in a robe, just listen and picture this. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool and white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. John was able to see something that people going about their everyday business somehow didn't always see. And John was there because of persecution, and no doubt he was concerned about the church. He was concerned about his church in Ephesus under persecution. And God's first reminder to John was that he was in the midst of his church. And as we hear the voice of the Spirit, I think one of the most important things we need to hear today is that God is in the midst of his church. That despite what any other organization or power is trying to tell us or how they're trying to lead us, God is in the midst of his church. John sees this. He says he was dressed in a robe. The robe would have been a priestly robe. That would have reminded John that God is the priest, he is the head of his church, and that he is leading his church, that he's still the great high priest. And this morning, maybe some of you, that's what you need to see, that God is still leading you. John saw his hair as white as wool. What does that usually symbolizes what to us? Usually symbolizes wisdom. I'm sure there are people with white hair that aren't wise. But generally, people with white hair have more wisdom than those who don't because they've experienced it. Some of you try to color it, but hey, let the wisdom show. John was reminded that God is wise, That God knows what he's up to. Maybe that's what you need to see today. Maybe you need to, in the spirit, you need to see someone with this image of someone whose hair is white as snow, reminding you that God is wise. Despite what's happening in your life, that God is wise and he knows what he's doing. John says he saw that. He says he saw eyes that were like a flame of fire. Those piercing, flaming eyes speak to me of judgment. And we look around us and we see all the evil, and we sometimes ask, like the psalmist asked, Lord, why is all this evil going unpunished? But John sees one whose eyes are eyes of judgment, who will judge the evil around him. He sees one, he says, whose feet were like feet of fine brass, refined in a fire. Feet that reminded him, feet that could carry him through. Feet that had walked through the fire. Feet that had been nailed to a tree. Feet that had walked out of a tomb. Feet that had been proven through fire. And John was reminded that these feet can carry him. Maybe you need to see that image this morning in the spirit. Someone who can carry you through the most difficult circumstance that you've ever had to go through. Someone whose feet have been refined, once pierced, now powerful. Feet that can carry you through the fire. Maybe you need to see that this morning. He said, I heard a voice as the sound of many waters. John on Patmos could have most likely at times had the occasion to hear the water beating in on the rocks and so on. And yet what he heard was a voice reminding him that God's voice cannot be silenced. Just as tides cannot be stopped, the word of God cannot be silenced. And then it says he saw a hand holding seven stars. Those seven stars are basically symbolic of the leaders of the church. Maybe that's what I need to see this morning. Maybe that's what I need to see as a pastor of a church and trying to lead a church into another century and so on. Maybe I need to see that reminder that he's actually holding me. You see, whatever we need to see this morning from God, we can see it through the eyes of the Spirit. We're not going to see it in the news. We're not going to see it on Facebook. We're not going to see it in what's happening around us. But in the Spirit, we can still see that God is working, he's holding, he's leading, and he's protecting us. And so, life in the Spirit affects what we hear. It affects what we see, and affects what we do. And so here's this old exiled man. He's done everything he can. He's pastored the church at Ephesus. He's preached the gospel, and now unfairly he's exiled on this island with no mattress and very little food. And what did he do? What did he do? Did he post about how terrible this is? He says, I was on the Isle of Patmos, but I was in the Spirit, and in the Spirit I saw God. In the Spirit I saw his wisdom. I saw his power. I saw his word. And he says, and when I saw this, I fell at his feet. In the Spirit, John was really worshiping. Despite what was happening around him, despite all of the terrible things, he was able to bow down and fall at his feet in worship. You see, there's nothing on this that's going to cause me to worship. And there's very little in the newspaper, the TV, or anywhere else that's going to cause me to worship. But what will cause us to worship is a fresh vision of who Jesus is and what he is doing. And the only way I'm going to get that fresh vision is by a life in the Spirit. What is the Spirit trying to show you? What is the Spirit saying to you? Life in the Spirit enables us to worship in spite of everything that's happening around us, everything that's happening to us, and everything that the enemy is trying to convince us of. And so, let's live in the Spirit. And if we live in the Spirit, let's keep in step. What is the Spirit saying to this church? What is the Spirit saying to you? And what is He saying to me? I hope we find that out. I think we will. Let's pray. We're going to sing an old, very simple chorus. It says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit takes Your Word and brings it open to our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as I've endeavored to share this Word with these precious people, Lord, I pray that not just the words I've said, but I pray that Your Holy Spirit would do just that. Lord, that You would just bring to my memory, Lord, that You are holding the messenger. Lord, that You would bring to our memory and fresh vision as a church that You are in the midst of the church. Lord, that You're standing in the midst of the candlesticks. And Lord, as we endeavor to be a light, remind us that You're with us. Lord, in Your Spirit this morning, by Your Spirit, remind that person who doesn't know what to do, Lord, that You are the wisdom. And Lord, show them, help them to hear what the Spirit is saying to them today. And Lord, for that person who's walking through the fire, don't think they're going to be able to get through it, Lord, remind them that You are the one whose feet have already been through the fire. And they are like fine brass that can withstand the heat. And Lord, that You can carry them through this flame. So Lord, whatever we need to hear, whatever this congregation needs to hear from You, Lord, just help us to be quiet. Help us to push aside the adversity and push aside the prosperity. Lord, to push aside just the calendar and things like that and to truly make time and make room for the Spirit to lead us and to guide us. So, Lord, we give You permission to do that.